I'm speaking this morning on my favorite subject. I'm bringing a message on the person and work and glory of the Lord Jesus Christ. I'll be with you for about 28 and a half minutes, and I'm going to spend 28 and a half minutes talking about Him. The Apostle Paul said, "We preach Christ and Him crucified." He said, "God forbid that I should glory save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ." And again, to that city of Corinth, he declared, "I am determined to know nothing among you save Jesus Christ and Him crucified." My only disappointment is this. My only disappointment in life is that I'm not able to preach the glorious gospel of Jesus Christ as I'd like to preach it. Just not able. I wish that I could. I wish that God would give me a hearing in this day, and let me declare with the liberty and power that I covet the glory and beauty of the person, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Here's the best news that ear can ever hear, and yet so few are interested in it. The best news, good news, glad tidings, and yet so few are interested at all. Here's the greatest treasure, the unspeakable gift God called, unspeakable gift. Such a treasure of such value is called unspeakable, unexplainable, unspeakable gift of God. And yet so few value it at all. See no beauty at all in Him. And then here's the Song of Songs. The Song of Songs, the very glory of God and the theme of heaven. Worthy is the Lamb, the very theme of heaven, and yet it's unknown to most of God's creation. And here, my friend, is hope for the hopeless. And here's mercy for the miserable. And here's grace for the guilty. And here's love for the unlovely. And yet it means so little to most people and remains a mystery to the majority of this world's population. In John 1:14, listen to this verse. I'm going to preach from this verse today and stay as close as I can to this one verse of Scripture. If you'd like to turn in your Bibles and follow with me, it's found in the first chapter of John, the very first chapter of the Gospel of John. The verse is 14. It says, And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and full of truth. You know what my prayer is? My prayer, very solemnly and sincerely, is this. Lord, give us ears to hear, and give us eyes to see, and a heart to understand, and a tongue to tell this glory of God that's beheld in the face of the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm going to take this verse of Scripture and just break it down almost word for word and deal with it, I hope, quite fully in this message today. So you listen now and follow in your Bibles. John 1, verse 14. It says, the first two words, the Word was made flesh. John opens his book with the statement, in the beginning, verse 1, you see it, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Now, we're talking about Word. The word, Word. See, the Word was made flesh. The Word. And then back there in verse 1, John said in the beginning was the Word. Who is this Word? Capital W-O-R-D. Who is this Word? It's our Lord Jesus Christ. Do you understand that? We're not talking about in the beginning was the Bible. We're talking about in the beginning was a person. And He's called the Word of God. He's called in the Scripture the water of life. He's called by some very beautiful but common terms. He's called the water of life. He's called the bread of life. All these things are essential. He's called the door. He's called the way, the truth, and the life. And here He's called the Word of God. He is the Word of God. Now, why is He called the Word? Why is Jesus Christ called the Word? In the beginning was the Word. Why didn't it say in the beginning was Jesus Christ? Well, He's called the Word of God because He is the revelation of God. He is the communication of God. He is that prophet who reveals God. You see, my friends, the heavens declare the glory of God. The firmament showeth his handiwork. You can see the power and might and wisdom of God in a whole lot of things. And then conscience reveals unto us the holiness of God. The fool has said in his heart, there's no God. Every man has a light that lights him, that lighteth every man that cometh into the world. There's some knowledge of God that can be received from nature and from the skies and the heavens and the earth and the things that are made and even our consciences. But to know God, God must speak. And God speaks with words, just like you and I speak with words. Words are vehicles of thought. Words convey unto us thoughts. Words convey unto us feelings. Words convey unto us purposes. You look at a person and say, I'm going to do this. And the only way he knows you're going to do it is for you to tell him. So God speaks. That's how God reveals himself. He speaks. And he speaks through Christ. Christ is the Word of God. Do you see what I'm saying? Our Lord said this, no man knoweth the Father but the Son, and he to whom the Son will reveal him. That's the reason Christ said, he that hath seen me hath seen the Father. He that hath heard me heard the Father. The words that I speak are not my words, they're the words of him that sent me. And the works that I do are not my works, but the works of him that sent me. Christ is not meaning by that that he and the Father are not one and the same. He's simply saying that you look at me, you're looking at God. God is revealed in Christ. See, he's the Word of God. You understand that? He's the revelation. He is the communication. He is that prophet. And the only way anybody can know anything about the thoughts of God, the ways of God, the will of God, the redemption of God, the purpose of God, the plan of God, is to hear Jesus Christ, because he's the Word of God. See, you'll never know anything about me unless I tell you. If I choose to clam up, never speak another word as long as I live, nobody's going to know what I'm thinking or what I'm planning or what I've got on my mind. I'll never tell them. And I'm telling you this, God Almighty speaks, and he speaks through Christ. That's why he's called the Word of God. And he says, in the beginning, you see, everything starts with God. The Bible starts that way, in the beginning. In the beginning, God. And in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God. You have there the Trinity. We're going to get into that in a few moments. And the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Every revelation of God in the Old Testament is an appearance of Christ. And all things were made by him. All things were made through him, by him, and for his glory. And without him was not anything made that was made. We understand, listen, that the worlds were framed by the Word of God. That's Hebrews 1. We understand, by faith we understand, that the worlds were made by the Word of God. Now that's Christ, you see? All right, look at our verse again. The Word, that's God in human flesh, was made flesh. Now let me show you from the Scriptures a fact. A man said to me just a little while ago, this is one of the most difficult things to preach. Men do not believe it. It's hard, it's impossible to convince anyone that Jesus Christ is God. I'm not saying he's a messenger of God, though he is. I'm not saying he's one who comes in the name of God, though he is. I'm not saying he's an ambassador of God, though he is. But he is God himself. And I'm going to show you that fact from the Word of God. God became a man. The Scripture said God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself. But perhaps the strongest verses in the Old Testament are these. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Emmanuel, God with us. And then in Isaiah 9:6, unto us a child is born, a son is given, his name shall be called Government on his shoulders, name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father. Now listen to this. In 1 Timothy 3:16, without controversy, without debate or argument, great is the mystery of godliness. What is the mystery of godliness? He tells you, God was manifested in the flesh. God was manifested. God was revealed. God was displayed in the flesh. I don't know why we find it so difficult for God to become a man. I know it's a great miracle. It's a wonder of wonders. But if God can make a man of flesh in his own image, why can't God reveal his image in a man of flesh? Why not? You see what I'm saying? God became a man. If God chooses to sit on a throne, he'll sit on a throne. If God chooses to use the earth as a footstool, he'll use the earth as a footstool. If God chooses to inhabit the body of a man, he'll inhabit the body of a man. Nothing is impossible with God in keeping with his holiness and justice and truth. And great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh. That's what it says. Seen of the angels, justified in the Spirit, preached to the Gentiles, and believed on in the world. That is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh. So here we have, look at that verse again. The Word. That's Jesus Christ, the Word. The Word was made flesh. Made flesh. Behold, here's the great mystery of mysteries. Here's the great miracle of all miracles, incarnation. God Almighty in his eternal purpose to save. God Almighty in his infinite love for sinners. God Almighty in his infinite grace and mercy chose to take upon himself the flesh of a man. And he became a man, bone of our bone and flesh of our flesh. He was numbered with the transgressors. He was identified with us. He's not ashamed to call us brethren. He took on himself the very likeness of sinful flesh. The great miracle is that God did not take upon himself the nature of angels. He didn't take upon himself the nature of unfallen Adam. But God Almighty waited to take upon himself the nature of man in his corruption, man in his depravity, man in his utter sinfulness. Almighty God was identified with us in our lowest depths of corruption and depravity. What a miracle. He became flesh. The Word, who was with God, was God, and all things were made by him. The Word, the communication of God, God himself, was made flesh. Now watch it. He was made flesh. He was made God deliberately. The Scripture says in Galatians 4, but when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth his Son, made of a woman, made under the law. God prepared that body. God prepared that dwelling place. God prepared that habitation. That was not the product of Adam's seed. That God made him flesh. And then what's the next line? Let's go verse, word by word. The Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. Dwelt among us. Now, the word here is the Word, God, was made flesh and tabernacled among us. He tabernacled among us. Can you imagine a little, I know you can't imagine much, I can't either, of the glory of the tabernacle in the wilderness? Right in the center of the encampment of Israel was a tabernacle, a tent. And on the outside it looked just like any ordinary tent, looked like all the rest of the tents. If you had been up in the air on a high mountain looking down on that encampment and you saw all these tents of skin and goat skin and badger skin, you would have paid a great deal of attention to that tent in the center of the camp with the white fence around it, except the white fence might have caught your eye. It was badger skin. It looked just like any other tent. And when Jesus Christ came to this earth, he looked just like any other man. In fact, those people said, "Why, is not this Joseph's son? Do we not know his mother and brothers and sisters? Is not this the carpenter? Can any good thing come out of Nazareth?" They called him a wine-bibber, a gluttonous man, a friend of sinners. There was no beauty about him that we should desire him, no comeliness. We hid, as it were, our faces from him. He looked like any other son of Adam. The difference was on the inside. And I'll tell you, when you look at that tabernacle out there in the wilderness with its badger skin covering, and it looked like any other tent, but when you opened the veil and walked in, the very Shekinah glory of God filled that place. God was present there. The gold, the silver, the white linen, the purity, the beauty, the incense burning, the candles, the seven candlesticks burning. There you have the greater glory of God revealed between the cherubims on the mercy seat. So that so that a man couldn't even approach thereunto without an atonement, without a blood sacrifice, or the very presence and glory of God would have blinded him. And that's what I'm saying about Jesus Christ, who tabernacled among us. He looked like any other man, but he knew no sin. He had no sin. He is God. Perfect love, perfect righteousness, perfect truth, perfect holiness, everything. You see, the greater glory of Israel was the tabernacle. And the greater glory of the tabernacle was the Holy of Holies. And the greater glory of the Holy of Holies was the mercy seat. For there was the Shekinah glory of God. There God met men. And there men met God. And I'm telling you this. Jesus of Nazareth, though he looks ordinary and common on the outside, and though they despised him and rejected him as a man of sorrows acquainted with grief, he's God in human flesh. And if you ever meet God, you'll meet him in Christ. And if God ever meets you, he'll meet you in Christ. If God ever deals with you in mercy, he'll deal with you in mercy on the basis of that man, Jesus Christ. That Christ is our tabernacle. In him, God meets men in mercy. My friend, I'm telling you the truth. Now, you can walk all the aisles you want to and cry and pray at all the mourners' benches and get baptized by all the Baptist preachers and sprinkled by the Methodists and confirmed by the Catholic. And you can take your sacraments and your Lord's table and communion and do your good works and make your professions and decisions. But I'm telling you, God meets men in the tabernacle, at the mercy seat, on the basis of the blood. And that's the blood of the Lamb, called the atonement. And I'm telling you, it says the Word was made flesh and tabernacled among us. Now, that's where you do business with God. And you do business on God's terms, in God's way, at God's time, through God's man, Jesus Christ. That's so. I've got nothing to gain by lying to you. I'm not building any monuments to myself. I'm trying to tell you the truth about God. Now watch the third thing. It says the Word was made flesh, and he dwelt among us. Now the fourth thing, and we beheld his glory. We, think about it, we, what a favored people, what a blessed people. Blessed are your eyes, Christ said, they see, and blessed are your ears, for they hear. Blessed are your hearts, they understand. Blessed, oh, my friends, have you beheld him? I'm not talking about we read about him or just heard about him. I'm talking about this. Paul said, the glory of God, the very glory of God, is revealed in the face of Jesus Christ. And he that seeth the Son and believeth on him hath everlasting life. The Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and by God opening our eyes, we beheld. You don't see this by nature. Our Lord said, Peter, whom do men say that I am? He said, well, they say you this, that, and the other. Well, whom do you say that I am? Peter said, you're the Christ. You're the Christ. You're the tabernacle. You're the mercy seat. You're the atonement. You're the altar. You're the high priest. You're the mediator. You're all things. And he said, flesh and blood didn't reveal that to you. But my Father which is in heaven. Have you beheld his glory? His glory? What is this glory of God that we see in the face of Christ Jesus? What's the glory of his holiness? Christ knew no sin. It's the glory of his love. Greater love hath no man than this. It's the glory of his justice. He spared not his own Son. It's the glory of his law. Christ came not to destroy it, but to fulfill it. It's the glory of his wisdom, that God may be just and justified. It's the glory of his power. They say even the waves are subject to this man. What manner of man is this, that even the wind obeys his voice? It's the glory of his life the grave could not contain. It's the glory of God's truth. He shall not fail. Have you beheld God's glory in the face of Christ Jesus? God's glory, my friends, not in your denomination. It's not in your temple, tabernacle, or cathedral. We build these monstrosities, put big crosses on top of them and shine lights on them and shine lights through our pretty stained glass windows, and we think we're showing the glory of God. The glory of God's not seen in those old buildings that'll someday come down. The glory of God, the indestructible, infinite glory of God, is revealed in Christ our Lord. be good for us if some of these places had burned down. It really would. And then we could worship God and quit worshiping our tabernacles and temples and creeds and laws and standards and preachers and all these organizations. And quit talking about what we're doing for God and start talking about what God's done for us, if anything at all. All right, read this. Listen, the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory, not our glory, not the glory of our forefathers, but His glory. And what is His glory? It's the glory of the only begotten of the Father. I know the difficulty we're faced in trying to comprehend the Trinity. If we could comprehend God, we'd be God. But I'm telling you, God is one, and yet He's three in one. You say, you just can't believe both. I don't know why not. I don't know why not. I believe Jesus Christ is God, and Jesus Christ is a man. He's the God-man. And I believe God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. I surely do. There are too many scriptures which teach this. God said when He created man, He said, let us make man. Who's He talking to? Let us make man in our image. I didn't go too far in school, but I know that's plural. I know that's not singular. And then I read this at the baptism of Christ. The Father spoke from heaven, said, this is my Son. And the Holy Spirit descended in the form of a dove. At the transfiguration of Christ, the Father spoke, said, this is my Son. Hear ye Him. And then the promise of the Spirit, our Lord said, I will pray the Father, and He'll send you another comforter, the Spirit. And John said in 1 John, there are three that bear record in heaven, the Father, the Word, and the Spirit. And our Lord Jesus said, He that has seen me has seen the Father. And God was in Christ reconciling the world unto Himself. And the second Adam is the Lord from heaven. Now that's clear to me. Is that clear to you? There's a Trinity. I can't explain it. I'm not going to try to. But I see in the face of Christ the glory of the Father. That's right, the glory of the Father. All right, now let's close with this. The Word was made flesh, condescended to become a man, and dwelt, actually tabernacled among us. We saw God in human flesh. And we beheld, we did, ourselves with eyes of faith, His glory. Not ours, His. He has the glory for everything He did. His glory. The glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace. Full of grace. Full. Watch this word, full. In verse 16 it says, and of His fullness have we all received grace for grace. Fullness. My friend, full of grace and truth. Nowhere, at no time, can you speak of anything or anybody containing all fullness. Nothing does except Christ. All fullness. In Him dwelleth all the fullness of God. What are we saying? All that God requires, all that God is, all that God commands, all that God expects, all that God gives, all that the sinner wants, all that the sinner needs, all that the sinner lacks, all fullness is in Jesus Christ. That's the only place it is. Only place. There are other places where God's manifest a part of Himself, a portion of Himself. His benefits are blessing, but in Christ, all of it. All things. All fullness. There's a fullness of deity. All fullness of deity. There's a fullness of love. There's a fullness of holiness. There's a fullness of power. He's able to save to the uttermost. There's a fullness of life. I'm come that they might have life. All that you need is in Christ. Nothing needs to be added to Christ. He says, in Him dwelleth all fullness, and you're complete in Him. The fullness of truth, He said, I am the truth. He didn't say, I am truth. He said, I'm the truth. All of it. All of it. All of it. Christ is the fullness of victory. Thanks be unto God who giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. He's the fullness of strength. He's the fullness of heaven. When the thief on the cross said, remember me when you come into your kingdom, He didn't say, I'll go make a place for you up there. He said, you'll be with me. That's heaven. That's heaven. You see, all And we beheld his glory, the glory of the only begotten of the Father, full, totally full of all grace, all fullness. What kind of grace? Well, the old tabernacle was full of law. Christ is full of grace. No sinner too great for him to save, no sin too black for him to wash, no guilt too heavy for him to bear. He's full of grace. He delights to show mercy. He says, come ye sinners, poor and needy, weak and wounded, sick and sore. Jesus ready stands to save you, full of pity, love and power. Come ye weary, heavy laden, bruised and mangled by the fall. If you wait till you're better, you'll never come at all. Let not conscience make you linger, nor a fitness fondly dream. All the fitness he requireth is to feel your need of him, because he's full. He's full of grace and he's full of truth. The old tabernacle was full of types. Christ our Lord is truth embodied, full of it. You don't need to know anything but Christ. You don't need to have anything but Christ. He's full of the truth of God's purpose, the truth of God's justice, the truth of God's love, the truth of God's promise, and the truth of God's glory. You never read a verse as important as this verse. The Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. All I need, Jesus Christ, is all I need.